above, in hourly quotations, it's page 97, the left-hand column, about the middle of the page, right under the line where it has the words, the Ches of Chacham and the Resh of Rasha and the Tuf of Tam in large letters. Spoke about a few items. He spoke about Hasogas Elikus, and that it's impossible to get the Hasogas Elikus unless you have somebody that's qualified to bring down the Hasogas Elikus into Tzimtzumim. And Rabbeinu Zal called that Tzimtzumim Chochma Tato. And Rabbeinu Zal called Chochma Tato Malchus. And Rabbeinu Zal said that this Chochma Tato, this Malchus, a person is zeichet to it by being Soinei Botza, by being one who shows the proper attitude towards money, certainly towards somebody else's money or too much money. And then Rabbeinu Zal said that when it comes to this Malchus, which is synonymous with Chochma Tato, a person has to see to it to draw Chius into it. Because this Malchus is something that has no life of its own, except what it receives from a higher source. And Rabbeinu Zal said that its Chius comes from a combination of the simcha, of the mitzvahs that a person does a whole year, being rolled into yantif, which is the simcha of the whole year, which is the heart of the whole year, when the mitzvahs, the simcha of the mitzvahs that a person did the whole year, is rolled up and put into yantif, and joins with the simchas yantif, that gives off an oyer haponim, kavyochol, a light of the face of Hashem. And that's what's mechaye the Malchus. That's what gives chiyus to the Malchus. That's what gives chiyus to this Chochma Tato. Then Rabbeinu Zal also explained that there's a danger related to this Malchus Chochma Tato of falling into the hands of the Klipois, the Dalet Golios. And Rabbeinu Zal said that when this happens, Chas V'Shalom, when the Malchus of Kedusha, when this Chochma Tato of Kedusha falls into the hands of the Klipois, you have to be able to sever, to cut it away. And that cutting is done through chesed. Rabbeinu Zal quoted psukim, kitzru lefi chesed, that chesed is, and that the establishment of Malchus is with chesed, v'uchan b'chesed kisei, to show that the cutting away of the Malchus dikdusha, this Chochmat Hator, from the Klipois, is done specifically through chesed. And then Rabbeinu Zal showed how Avram Avinu, who was one of the most outstanding Anshei Chesed, he was the one who chased after the four kings in order to take away from them the Malchus Dikdusha. We said Loit, from whom Moshiach would come forth, represents the Malchus Dikdusha, and he was taken captive by the four kings who represent the Malchus of Klipa. Avram Avinu, through his outstanding chesed, was able to chase after them and to cut away light, to remove light from them. This was pretty much what we discussed so far. Now Rabbeinu Zal continues. V'zeh v'yishasef Shmuel es Agag. We know that there's a story in the Novi that one of the first official king of Bnei Israel was Shaul HaMelech. And Hashem loved him and he was anointed by Shmuel HaNovi. And at one point, he was given a mission to go out to do battle against Amalek. We're told throughout the Torah that Amalek is the worst of all nations of the Goyim. Amalek represents the combination of the Ra of all 70 nations, and certainly of the four Malchios. If we talk about the letter Dalet representing the Malchus de Kedusha, and that Keneged, the Malchus of Kedusha, there's a Malchus de Klipa that's represented by this Dalet, Amalek is all of that rolled into one. Amalek represents all the Ra rolled into one. So it's brought that when Shaul HaMelech went out against Amalek, his instructions were complete wipeout. Don't leave anything around. Destroy completely. Instead, due to a variety of reasons, pressure from the Yidden and everything, he left some things behind. The Yidden took animals to bring karbonos and other things, and also they left Agag alive. Agag, who was the king of Amalek at that time, and who was, from him would come forth Haman, who would represent one of the worst opponents to Klal Yisrael in the future. Shaul HaMelech left him alive. He took him captive and he held him prisoner. When Shmuel HaNovi heard about this, Shmuel said, bring him before me. And when Agag was brought before him, the Torah says, Vayishasef Shmuel es Agag. Vayishasef is a word that isn't used, as far as I know, anywhere else in the Torah. It's a strange kind of word. And it means, Rashi says it means, he sliced him into four pieces. Why would the Torah be so descriptive? The Torah has enough ways of making itself interesting, other than by this type of pictorial kind of stuff. We care if you cut them into four, into eight. Obviously, there's deep secrets involved here. Now, Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain exactly why the word Vayishasef, which is a very strange word, instead of Vayachtoich, he sliced him, or Vayahargeyu, there's 10 other better words if it meant to say kill or cut. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, Vezeh Vayishasef Shmuel es Agag, the Torah says that Shmuel Hanovi shasefed Agag. Ki Agag hu klolius ho arba malchius de sitrachra. Agag represents the combination of all the strength of all four kingdoms of Tumah. Kamoshe Kosov, as the Pasuk says, Reishis Goyim Amolek, that the leader of all nations is Amolek. He's the umbrella over all of them. Vizeh Shepiresh Rashi, and this is why Rashi on that Pasuk Vayishasef says, Chotchoi Ledalit. He cut, literally it means he cut him into four. Rabbeinu Zal explains, Chotchoi Ledalit, he cut the Dalit. That Shmuel Hanovi sliced the four of Kedusha away from the four of Tumah. Meaning, Hainu Shechotach Vihivdil Es Hadalid, Shehi Bechinas Malchus de Kedusha, De Lesla Migarma Klum Kanal, that Shmuel Hanovi sliced away the Malchus of Kedusha, which is symbolized by the letter Dalid. We mentioned before that in Yaakov Avinu's sons, the one that was Zoche to take over the kingdom was Yehuda. From Yehuda came forth Malchus, Shevet Yehuda. The word Yehuda is Hashem's name Yudke Vavke plus the letter Dalid. Dalid there symbolizes Dovid HaMelech, who is the symbol of Malchus Dikdusha. That's just another example where we see that Dalid is symbolic of Malchus, specifically Malchus of Kedusha. Rabbeinu Zal gave another explanation, because Malchus, in the Zohar HaKadosh it says about Malchus, Deles Le Migarmo Klum. Deles means it has nothing of its own. Malchus is a keli, it has no light of its own, except what it receives from above, from other sources. The word deles, dalet lamed yud tav, again makes up the word dalet. It's the same letters as dalet. So the letter dalet represents Malchus, both on the side of Kedusha and Lahavdala side of Tumah. When it says that Shmuel sliced lidalet, it means he cut the four of Kedusha away from Me'agag, away from Agag, Shehu Klolius Dalet Malchius de Sitrachra. Agag, who represents the totality of the four kingdoms of Tumah. Vehelo es Hamalchus de Kedusha b'sholosh regolim. How did he do this? What gives a person the ability to cut away the Malchus of Kedusha from the Malchus of Tumah? The three holidays. We said that it's the three holidays, the Sholesh Regolim, that give Chiyus to the Malchus of Kedusha. Rabbeinu Zal says that through the power of the Sholesh Regolim, that's what gave Shmuel Hanovi the ability to cut away the Malchus of Kedusha from the Malchus of Tumah. Vezev Vayishasef. This is why this strange word Vayishasef is used. Because the root of the word Shin Samach Pei is Rosh Tevois Shavuos Sukkos Pesach. That verb that's being used is to show that the whole Tikkun of the Malchus of Kedusha comes about on these holidays. Because remember, the Hebrew word for holidays is Regolim, Sholosh Regolim. The Malchus is called Raglayim, Ragleho Yordois Moves. The feet of Kedusha go into the Klipois. So the Yomim Tovim especially are super, super important times when there is this Tikkun and Binyan of Malchus. So Rabbeinu Zal says again, Ki ikar chiyuso me'or haponim shebesholosh regolim kanal. Because the main chiyus of the Malchus comes from the oyer haponim, kaviyochel, this light of the face of Hashem, shebesholosh regolim, which shines especially on the sholosh regolim. Bibchinas, as the pasuk says, there's another pasuk in the Novi which says, Vayihi litshuvas hashono le'es tseis hamalochim. It was at a certain time of the year when the kings go out. So Rabbeinu Zal says, look at the words here. Tshuvas Hashono Zebechinas Sholosh Regolim. The term, the special times of tshuva of the year, represents the three holidays. Shehem, Yemei Din, Yemei Tshuva. Those are special days of tshuva. Kemaymar al Chazal, as the Gemara says, Bepesach nidoinim al atvua, Baatzeres nidoinim al perosoilon, Bechag nidoinim al amayim. The Gemara says that on each one of the three holidays, the Jews are judged for specific items. On Pesach, they're judged for the tvua, all items related to Tevuah. On Shavuos, they're judged for fruit, and on Sukkos, we're judged for water. So we see, now the question is, what's going on here? We said that the Yomim Tovim are Yemei Simcha, and we said that there's a whole issue of Chesed involved here in trimming away the Malchus. Where does Din, Rabbi Nizal uses the word Yemei Din here for the holidays, and Yemei Tshuva, Rabbi Nachman Shigrinzal explains that these two go to, in Kiddusha, these two go together. There's a concept of Vigilu, Bir Odo. Vigilu means to be super happy, Bir Odo with trembling. That Yontif, as much as Yontif represents a certain Simcha Dikdusha and a certain union of Chesed, Hachnosas Orchim, the super stress that a person isn't Yoytse, the Suda of Yontif, unless they have guests at their table, super emphasis on that. And at the same time, on Yontif, there's a super warning. The Gemara says that they used to send out the Dayonim to the streets to be boydek, to make sure that the people didn't let this frivolous attitude lead to sins. There was a certain Midas Hadin, a Mishpat, that took place at that time also. And it's the combination of these two that nourishes the Malchus, that nourishes and supports the Malchus. So now Rabbi Nathal says, Vayhi litshuvas hashana, the special days of tshuva of the year, which are also these a nickname for the Sholosh Regolim. And the Pasuk says, Le'es tseis hamalochim, a time when kings go out. Rabbi Nathal says, Va'oz es tseis hamalochim kanal. That's a time when what? Shemoitzim es bechinas hamalchus digdusha migolios sheladalet hamalchios. That's a time when the kings of Kedusha exit from the kings of Klipa. When the Malchus of Kedusha leaves, is able to be cut away and removed and elevated from the Malchus of Klipa. And we elevate the Malchus to the Oyer Haponim, which shines brightly on these three holidays. Now Rabbi Nizal says, now you'll understand another very interesting item. Why is it that on Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkos, the most outstanding mitzvahs on each one of those holidays are mitzvahs that relate to the number four? Rabbi Nizal says, V'alkein yesh dalid bechinois bechol regel. This is why you'll note, interestingly, that on each one of these three holidays, there's a concept of a dalid. B'shavuos hu seder ha-mishneh. On Shavuos is the holiday when we celebrate Hashem giving us the Torah. And the seder of learning was Dalid pa'amim biyad kol echot, k'moy sham razal, as the Gemara says in Eruvin. The Seder of learning, when Hashem gave the Torah to Bnei Israel, the Seder halimud was to learn at least four times. As the Gemara says in Eruvin, Ketzad Seder HaMishnah, how was the learning? The Gemara says, first Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu, then Moshe Rabbeinu taught Aaron HaKohen, then Aaron HaKohen passed it on to his sons, and his sons to the Zkenim. Those were the four groupings, the four sets. And then the Gemara discusses how then what happened was that Moshe Rabbeinu taught to Aharoim, and Moshe Rabbeinu taught to the sons and to the Zkenim. The Gemara shows how each one that transmitted the knowledge did it four times. Kavyochel Hashem gave it over to four, Moshe Rabbeinu gave it over to four, Aaron HaKohen gave it over four times, his sons gave it over four times, and the Zekanim gave it over four times. So we see that the whole concept of learning is based on a foundation of four rounds, at least four times, to learn it, to review it at least four times, in order for it to become solid within the person. That's the Dalid of Shavuos. Next, the Sukkos, who Dalid Minim. On Sukkos, you have the famous Dalit Minim, the Lulav Esreg Hadas Min Arovois. And B'Pesach, Hakoel Keneged Bechinas. One second, where was Pesach? We skipped it. B'Pesach Heim Dalit Koisis. The first item that was listed was on Pesach, you have the four cups of wine. And on Shavuos, the Seder HaMishnah. And on Sukkos, the Dalit Minim, Hakoel Keneged Bechinas Hadalit Hanal, Bechinas HaMalchus Kanal. All of this is to correspond to the concept of the Malchus, which is this Dalit, Shetzorech Lahaloiso El Oyer Haponim, which a person has to elevate the Malchus to the Oyer Haponim, Al Yidei Simchas HaMitzvois, Shemiskapsim Letoy Haragolim, through the Simcha of the Mitzvahs that the person did the whole year, which are gathered together into the holidays. So that on the holidays, the fact that we have, on each holiday, the fact that we have a mitzvah of four is symbolic, that one of the main accomplishments on a holiday is a tikkun of this Malchus Dikdusha. And that tikkun is brought about through a kibbutz, a gathering, an ingathering of all the mitzvahs and their simcha into Yontif, which is what gives the super charge to the Malchus of Kedusha, which could possibly have fallen down below into the Sitra Achra, to exit from there, to leave, to pull out and be elevated and draw the He'ora from the Oyer Haponim, which it needs to get its Chiyus. I mentioned a side example, a side item, which was, for instance, that Yomim Tovim are super times of Chesed. Number one, the fact that the Zohar Kodesh makes a point of saying that Ein Bein Shabbos L'Yontov Eloichel Nefesh Bilvad, that on Yontov especially there's a chiyuv of having guests at your table, which is a form of chesed, stokka, sharing with others. And Bechlal, the whole concept of simcha of Yontov, is also an inyan of chasodim, kindness. Rabbi Nazal now, though, is going to address a whole other form of chesed, how we activate this chesed. Now Rabbi Nazal says, "V'ikar hisgalus hachesed hanal shal yodoi koitzren v'choit chinum avdilen esadalen hanal me'arba goliois shelo akum." The main form, again, we stress this and restress this, that when Rabbi Nazal uses the word ikar, he means that there could be several different forms of this item, but the best one, the most effective one, and the most important one is the one he's about to discuss. Chesed comes in a lot of different forms. But Rabbi Nazal now is going to discuss the most effective form of this chesed that's needed to slice away the Malchus of Kedusha from the hands of the Klipos. V'ikar hisgalus ha-chesed anal, the main revelation of this chesed we spoke about earlier, shal yodoi koitzrin v'choitchen u'mavdilin esadal aranal me'arba goliyos shelo akum, hu'al yidei toichocho, is through toichocho. Toichocho means reprimand. Kal yidei psichas peh shel hamoichiach, because when one who gives toichocho opens his mouth, nizgale chochmo, there is revealed chochmo. Vayidei zois hachochmo nizgale chesed. And when there is this revelation of chochmo, there's automatically a revelation of chesed. Ki ikar hisgalus hachesed al yidei hachochma, because the main revelation of chesed is through chochma. Ki keil nehiru dechochmasa, because the Zohar HaKadosh says keil, which is Hashem's name for chesed, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, chesed keil kol hayoim. Keil, which is chesed, is a glow of chochma. Keil nehiru dechochmasa. It's actually an offshoot of chochma. The Tikkun Ezra says, if you'll take a look at these two words, Chesed is Bigimatria 72, Chochma is Bigimatria 73, to show that Chochma is right above it. Chochma is the place from which Chesed receives its light. When we picture the Sphirois, Keser, Chochma, Bina, Chesed, Gevura, it's not stam that Chesed is after Bina and under Bina, because in the Sphirois there are some that are to the right and there are some that are to the left. Chochma is to the right, Bina is to the left. Chesed is to the right, Gevura is to the left. So that in a sense, Chesed is right under Chochma, and Chesed receives from Chochma. So Rabbi Nazal says that when a tzaddik is moichiach, and he gives toichocha, when he opens his mouth, what's coming out of his mouth? Chochma is coming out of his mouth. What comes from chochma? Chesed, as he's going to explain. K'may shekosuv, as the pasuk says in Mishlei, piha poscha b'chochma, v'toiras chesed al l'shoina. The Talmud Chochem opens his mouth with chochma, and there's a Torah of kindness on his lips. Rabbi Nazal says, it's interesting, just... I'm curious if there is a connection, that the root of the word, the term moichiach, mem chof ches, is the same letters as chochom, ches chof mem. Could be there's some kind of connection. The fact that Rabbi Nazal stresses that the moichiach, when somebody is moichiach the right way, it's this concept of pio poscha b'chochma. Rabbi Nazal says, so the pasuk says, "Pia poscha b'chochma v'toras chesed al sheina." So we see that in the chochma that's coming out of the mouth, there's chesed coming out of the mouth. Rabbi Nazal says, "Vezeh," and this is what the pasuk says in Tehillim: "Yahalmeini tzaddik chesed v'yoychicheni." The tzaddik smashes me with kindness v'yoychicheni and reprimands me. This is a pasuk in Tehillim, Kapitel Kuf Mem Aleph, where the pasuk says this is David HaMelech talking, and he says, "Yehelmeini tzadik chesed v'yochicheni, may the tzadik smash me," meaning reprimand me with kindness, v'yochicheni, and reprimand me. Shemen roish al yoni roishi, the oil on my head, meaning the oil that represents his ability to rule. That was his kingdom. He was crowned as king by having this oil smeared on his head. Ki oid should continue. Utfilosi baro'oi sehem. And my tefillah is always against my enemies who sometimes try to sweet talk me. They try to make believe they're my friends. They flatter me. They play up to me. And a person could be fooled sometimes that the people who are being really nice to them are their worst enemies, chas v'shom. They don't know it. Whereas the ones who seem to be their worst enemies, the tzaddik who's reprimanding him, is really his best friend. And here you take a look at the Rashi in this pasuk in Tehillim, Yehelmeini tzaddik v'chesed v'yochicheni. Rashi HaKodesh says, Toiv li sheyochicheni v'yasreini novi emes v'tzedek. Dovra Melch says, it's good for me that a novi emes v'tzedek should reprimand me, v'yasreini, and punish me. Shekol mahaloi moisa v'toychachtoi chesed. All of his petch, all the petch that I receive from him, and all of his reprimand is really kindness. And then Rashi HaKodesh continues, Shemen roish al yoni roishi, Shemen malchus shehutzak al roishi, the oil of kingdom that was put on my head, al yosir es roishi mitechachas hatzadik, should not cause my head to be removed from accepting the reprimand of the tzaddik, loleches velilchoim es poel yoven, to go and eat with the evil people. In other words, to go have a good time with evil people, and in other words, the fact that I was made a king, it shouldn't go to my head to make it difficult for me to accept the reprimand of the tzaddikim, and to want rather to enjoy having a good time and accept the fun and games of the rishoim, chas v'shalom, that kind of thing. The Metzudas David clarifies this even more. The reason why I'm mentioning the Rashi in the Metzudas David is because Rabbeinu Zal makes a very major point to this here. The Metzudas David says, Yehelmeini tzaddik, manamehem lo ya'arvuli. All the sweets that come from the Rishoim, David HaMelech says, that I don't accept as sweetness. That I don't enjoy. I don't enjoy the sweet talk and the playing up and the flattery and all the baloney that I get from the Rishoim. Aval im hatzadik yakeni, whereas if the tzadik strikes me, liyasher darki, to straighten out my ways, yeravli, that's sweet to me, that I enjoy, v'yechoshev li lechesed, and that I accept as kindness. I don't look at that as being, that's the harshness of the tzadik, but rather that's kindness. V'yechicheni, the Metzudas David continues, v'im yiche mo'er ponai b'teichocho, and if my face becomes darkened, in other words, the person becomes embarrassed and insulted from the reprimand, haloi al yedei hoichachtoi, through this reprimand, lo yosur meiroishi Hashem en animshach b'roishi lahatzliach lemelucha. That's what's going to protect my kingdom. Dovid HaMelech was a king, and Malchus is close to the klipos. Malchus is always in jeopardy and danger. What's the insurance policy for the Malchus? The insurance policy is to be receiving this toichocha from the tzaddik. As long as the tzaddik is being moichiach him, then he's protected. He's still safe that he'll be kept within the proper boundaries. Ratzalaymer, haloy al yedeiz, this is the Metzudas David explaining, haloy al yedeiz zeh eshur b'melucha. That's what's going to guarantee that I'm going to retain my kingdom. The fact that the tzaddik keeps me on a leash, and the fact that he strikes me when I need to be struck. And if so, the smashing of the tzaddik is much better for me than the sweetness of the rishoim. So now Rabbeinu Zal says, "Hainu shal yedei toichocho nizgale chesed. Through toichocho is revealed chesed." Just to pause here for a second again and to insert information from another chapter on Likutei Moran. The last shiur that Rabbeinu Zal gave in his life was called Tiku Toichocho, and he gave it on Rosh Hashanah. In that chapter on Likutei Moran, one of the major topics that he addresses is this topic of Toichocho. And Rabbeinu Zal quotes a posuk. There's a posuk where Hashem says to the tzaddikim, Horeim kashofar koilech, lift up your voice, like the shofar, like the blast of the shofar, which is intended to strike fear into the hearts of the Jews, that the tzaddikim should speak with power, horeim kashofar koilech, Vahaged la'ami pishon, and tell my nation their sins, meaning give them toichocha. Rabbi Nathal explains in that chapter in the Likutei Moran that it says horeim kashoifor. What is kashoifor? Kashoifor means chesed. Rabbi Nathal explains that the word kashoifor makes up the first letters of the words kofel, shilush, ribua, kofel, shilush, poshut, ribua. When we take Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, when we take it in this form, where we write the Yud first alone, then we write Yud Hei, that's called, the Yud alone is Poshut, that's the simplest form, just one letter. Then we double it, we take two letters, Yud Hei. Then we triple it, we take Yud Kei Vav. Then we quadruple it, Yud Kei Vav Kei. The numerical value of that is chesed, 72. The word kashoifor means this. It's marames to this ability of pia poscha b'chochma v'soiras chesed l'shoina, the ability of tzaddikim to shine this chesed on Bnei Yisrael, where their toichocha is actually an act of kindness. It's only being done for the benefit of a person, to help the person, to improve the person. So Rabbi Nathal says over there, that's the true toichocha. This form of chesed, this horeim kashoifor koilech v'haged lami pisham. Here again, Rabbi Nathal emphasizes that toichocha is a hisgalus of chesed. That's what it is. And he proves it clearly from this pasuk in Tehillim. Rabbi Nathal says, however, how do we deal with it? Most people have human natures, and unfortunately part of the human animal is to react negatively to toichocha. Most people are abnormal. Normal is that a person should appreciate, Dovra Melech says, that's sweet to me. Sweet to me isn't when somebody comes over to me and says, wow, you're so good, you're being great, you're wonderful, you're excellent. Sweet to me is if somebody shows me what I could improve in, what's missing for me, so that they make me better. If somebody tells me how good I am, in many cases, not always, there are certain times that a person needs that. When a person's really, really down, when a person's super depressed and dejected and can't pick themselves up because they think so low of themselves, then to such a person you have to be able to convince them that you think you're the lowest of the low. It's not true. It's not true. The opposite. That person needs building up. But when a person's not holding in that frame of mind, when a person's feeling regular or feeling good about themselves, and then you go over to that person and they tell them you're wonderful, you're excellent, that's putting a bullet in that person, literally, because that's giving that person an excuse to stand still. If I'm excellent, then there's no excuse, then nobody's telling me that I have to run desperately to achieve. That people are telling me I'm okay, I'm beseder. Whereas if a person's given the toichocha, that's what motivates and fuels and fires a person to know that what am I doing? If I stay here another second, I could be finished. I better hightail it up. I better move. I better get myself going. I can't sit in this mud, in this slop for the rest of my life. So here Rabbi Nathal says, but again, unfortunately, we said that most humans aren't that way. And most people, when they're given toichocha, they don't like it. They don't enjoy it. And not only that, but they get angry at the one giving it to them. And either they'll play defensive, they'll look to prove what they're being told they're doing wrong, and they're not really doing it wrong, it's really right, and it's really okay, and really you don't know me, you don't understand me. Or chas v'shalom, the person will use that as an excuse to walk away from the tzaddik, or to create a barrier, to set up a certain distance, so that thereby the tzaddik won't feel comfortable being moichiach me. I've set myself up in such a way that he knows that I don't appreciate it, that kind of thing. So now Rabbi Nathal says, utzrichin onu lekabel toichachtom, we have to accept the toichocha, afal pi shetoichocha shelohem hi lefa'omim derech bizoyoin shemevaznai sonu, even though at times, this doesn't mean always, but at times, the toichocha comes in a form of insult, where they insult us, afal pi kein tzrichim onu lekabel toichachtom, we must accept their toichocha, kedei lekabel al yodo yes hachesed kanal, in order to receive this chesed. It means that this chesed is a super important tool that a Jew needs. Each and every single Jew who's responsible for the tikkun of the Malchus Dikdusha, one of the most important tools that you're going to need to do it is chesed. Rabbi Nizal says one of the ways that a Jew is given this chesed is by the toichocha that comes from these tzaddikim. That gives the person the chesed that he needs to fight his battle with his malchus of kedusha, falling into the hands of malchus of klipa. He wants to cut her away. He needs chesed. The chesed will come through this toichacha. Rabbi Nizal says, because this that we find that at times the toichacha comes in the form of in an insulting form. We have to judge the tzaddikim lekafschus. We have to judge them positively. Why? Ki ein odom nitpas al tsaroi. This is a very famous quote in the Gemara, where the Gemara says that when a person is in pain and they say something, you can't judge that person for what they said because they're saying it out of pain. When a person's in pain, they'll say things that they wouldn't normally say if they weren't in pain. Or certainly they wouldn't say it in that manner as they say it when they are in pain. And the Gemara says that that's pain sometimes is a justification enough that you should not hold a grudge against the person. If they said something terrible to you at a time that they were in pain, then you have to know that it's not the person that's guilty, but it's the pain that caused that statement to be made. So here Rabbi Nizal says that when tzaddikim reprimand us in an insulting way, Rabbi Nizal says that we have to judge them favorably because of this concept of ein odom nitpas al tsaroi. A person can't be held liable for what they say out of pain. Ki soivlim tsar godoil meitonu. Rabbi Nizal says that the tzaddikim suffer tremendously from us. Ki afilu mashehu toiv etzleinu. Because even our good, what we would consider something good, to the tzaddikim, it's bad, it's terrible. Uke'en mashom razal, sort of like what the Gemara says in Yevamos, kol toivosom shel rishoim, ro hi etzel hatzadikim. That the good of a rasha is bad to a tzaddik. The Gemara says that when Hashem spoke to Lavan, Hashem said to Lavan, "He zoher, you better watch out not to do any toiv or ra to Yaakov Avinu." So the Gemara says, why did Hashem say, just don't do anything bad to Yaakov Avinu? What's wrong with doing something good? The Gemara says, from here we learn out that the toiv of a Lavan is ra to Yaakov Avinu. Anything that Lavan would consider something good to a tzaddik like Yaakov, on his level, what the one that far down, in other words, one person's mitzvah is another person's avera. To tzaddikim, what to us would be credited on our account as having done a good deed, to a great tzaddik, to him that would be terrible. Lahavdil, the example, if a person on a certain level gives a shekel to tzedakah, it's a mitzvah, to a particular poor person. Another person who gives a shekel to tzedakah to that person is going to get Gehenim for it, because the correct amount for him was 100 shekel. And if he gives a shekel, he's giving way, 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 way below what he's allowed to give, that kind of thing. I'm just using that as an example. So too, in general, in terms of what our mitzvahs, what we consider Maisim Toivim, compared to the tzaddik, if he were, lahavdil, what we consider clean clothes, if the tzaddik would put it on, compared to the whiteness of his clothes, our white looks gray or black compared to his whiteness. So here Rabbi Nizal says, "Hainu ki asokim v'sichas chulin shalonu bevadai roetzlam." Because our regular business or our regular talk, when we're not speaking diburim of kedusha, that certainly is ra to the tzaddikim. Ela afilu toivosenu, but even our good, hainu tatfila, excuse me. For example, our tefilos shehu be'erkenu rak toiv, which, as far as we're concerned, the tefillah is one of the few mitzvahs that I do in a day. That kind of attitude. Hura'o etzla tzadikim. Compared to the tzadikim, compared to the tzadik's tefillah, our tefillah is like ra. It's ugly in comparison. Bebechinas utfilosi bero'oi sehem. The end of that pasuk in Tehillim, Yehelmeini tzadik chesed v'yoychicheni, shemen roishi al yoni roishi, ki oid utfilosi bara oisehem. The pasuk ends with this words, utfilosi, my tfila bara oisehem. To them, it's terrible. It's like an avera, in a sense. Ki tfiloseinu mevalveles oisam, because our tfilois mix up the tzaddikim. It bothers the tzaddikim in a sense. Ki kol ho'irvuv hadas v'chol habilbulim v'chol ashtusim sheyesh lanu lefamim, because all the insanity and all the confusion and all the foolishness that we have at times, hakol nimshach b'tfiloseinu, all of it funnels into our tfilos. Ki kol habilbulim v'chulu, because all the baloney, all the silly thoughts and insanity, v'chol hamachshavos shechoy shevodim lefamim, and all the thoughts, that all the outside thoughts that people think, hakol boim al daitoi b'shas hatfilo daiko, all of it comes into the person's mind usually bedafka when the person's davening, especially at the time of tefila. That's when all kinds of side thoughts, or chas v'shalom, even bad thoughts, treif thoughts, come into a person's mind. V'hakol nishma elov oz daiko b'sho sh'oimed l'spalel. And all of it, the person finds themselves thinking about it bedafka at the time that they're standing up to daven, meaning especially Shmoin Esrei. But in general in tefillah, that's when a person finds themselves being bombarded with all kinds of outside thoughts. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, Mi yemalel gevura is Hashem, yashmia kol tehilosoi. Rabbi Nezal explains this Pasuk now. Tehilosoi, loshen ubemalochov, yosim toholo. The word tehilosoi, which means the praises of Hashem, also means confusion. There's a pasuk ubemalochov yosim toholo, that Hashem places confusion, in other words, he frightens the angels so much where they become totally flustered, totally confused. So the same word that means tefillah, tehila means the praises of Hashem, the same word toholo means confusion. Rabbi Nezal says, Hainu irvuv ubilbulim. This means confusion and all kinds of mess. She'oz mashmiyim esatzmon daiko. That's exactly when they make themselves known, when they make themselves visible. B'sho she'oimed lehispalel ulemalel gevurois Hashem. At the time that the person is getting up to speak of the greatness of Hashem, mi yemalel gevurois Hashem, a person who wants to speak of the greatness of Hashem, yashmiya kol tehilosoi. That's when he hears all the confusion. That's when all the baloney that's in all the libraries of their brain comes out to join into the tefillah, comes out to mess up, to occupy the person's mind, and to take away their concentration off the words of tefillah or off Hashem, and to get there to think about all of this other stuff. Rabbi Nezal says, what do you want to say?
Even like the mitzvah of davening, can
It means that I gave the example, a person who's on a low madrega, when he does something which, because of his low madrega, to him that's considered a good thing, like he did a good thing. Let's say if a person on a certain madrega learns Torah for a half hour a day, to him it's very good, because based on his moyach, based on how much a child who can't sit in a chair for more than a half hour, who usually can't sit for 15 minutes, and he tries super, super hard to sit down to learn for a half hour, for him that's a very big mitzvah. But a big tzaddik who could sit for 10 hours straight, if he learns only a half hour in a day, to him, Hashem considers that like he did in Aveira that day. He only learned a half hour. He could have learned 10 hours, he only learned a half hour. It means like he did in Aveira. That's a dugma. So too, in general, what to us is a mitzvah, to them is like an Aveira. What to regular people is considered a mitzvah, to great, 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 great tzaddikim on their madrega, that to them is considered an Aveira. Now Rabbi Nezal says, V'hu bebeiz bechinois. The fact that these outside thoughts come to a person, especially at the time of davening, is based on two reasons. Oy sheboim lehistaken, either they're coming to receive their tikkun, these thoughts, which are an item, it's an object, it's a creation, it's a living item, a thought is also a living item. And these outside thoughts need tikkun. Sometimes they come to a person bedavka at the time that the person's davening because they want to get fixed. Machmas sheroyim shemespalel bekavona koroi, because they see that the person's davening well, with proper concentration, alkein bohim listakein. Therefore, they come to the person to receive their tikkun. Ki achshav hu azman sheyicholim listakein. Because now is the time when they can be fixed. At a time that a person's davening real well, that's when the person reaches a height of kedusha that he's able to fix things. What's one of the things that need fixing? Thoughts, machshavos. Rabbi Nizal explains, ki yesh bohem nitzutzos kedoshim shetzrichim tikkun, because these thoughts have in them sparks of kedusha that need fixing. So sometimes the fact that a person is being bombarded with these thoughts isn't a bad sign. It isn't a sign that his tefillah is no good. It's a sign just the opposite, that for one of the first times in his life he's davening a real good tefillah, and therefore all this whole package that he has that needs fixing suddenly is taking itself out of the closet and approaching at this time to get its tikkun. How does it get its tikkun? If the person deals with it properly, if the person forces himself to concentrate on his tefillah, to ignore those thoughts, or let's say tzaddikim, they know higher level ways of being misaking those thoughts. Let's say for us, on our infantile level, us dealing with this, the tikkun is to ignore the thoughts, not to let it fluster you, not to let it mess up your davening, but the second that you realize that it came to you, just to gently put your mind back onto the right track, concentrate on tefillah, and keep moving forward. And that itself is a tikkun for these thoughts. The fact that you encountered them in battle, they came to you, and you were able to walk away from it without getting stuck to it, and go back to your davening, continue with your davening, that itself represents a success and a tikkun for these machshavos zoros. Now Rabbi Nizal says, so that's one reason why they come. Oy bebechina acheres, or at times they come for another reason, or another way. Machma she'enoy roy lehispalil, because of the fact that this person doesn't deserve to daven, the person is unworthy to daven, and therefore, these thoughts are being sent to push, to knock the person off his horse. This person got on a horse and wants to run, he wants to ride, he wants to accomplish with his tefillah. If he's unworthy of it, Hashem sends these thoughts to knock him off his horse. No davening. You don't deserve to be able to daven, meaning to be able to daven properly with kavona. Al kolponim, Rabbi Nizal says, either way, benkachu benkach, whether it be for this reason or that reason, b'shas hatfilo daiko boim kol ha'irvuvim v'chol ha'bilbulim shelodom. Especially when at the time that a person's davening, that's when this whole cholent comes into their brain. All of these thoughts and bilbulim all comes at that time. V'nishmoim etzloi oz, and they make themselves heard at that time. Ubishvil ze nikroim habilbulim vohirvuvim toholokanal. Rabbi Nizal says it's for this reason that the Hebrew word for confusion is tohola. Machma shehim boim daika bishas hatfila vahatehilokanal. Because one of the most outstanding events of confusion of the day for Jews is tefila. At the time of davening, that's when their mind goes chalon. That's when their mind goes zigzag. That's when the mind experiences the biggest jumps, the biggest mishkababel, bedavke at the time of tefillah. So Rabbi Nizal says, v'chol hatfiloi so'elu, im kol ha'irvuvim, boim el hatzadikim. Now, all of our tefillahs, with all their chalon, with all this junk, with all of these outside machshavos, the whole package is sent to the tzaddikim. Ki hatzaddikim heim bechinas Moshiach. Because tzaddikim are a concept of Moshiach. She'elov boim kol hatfilois lahaloisam. To Moshiach are sent all the tfilois of the Jews. His job is to elevate the tfilois. Bebechinas, Rabbi Nizal is going to explain this now. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, utehilosi echtam loch. My tfilah, I said, the word echtam means the nose. Chaitam means the nose. There's a connection between tefillah and the nose. Rabbi Nizal says, this means shekol ha-tehilois boim lebechinas Moshiach. This means that the tefillois go to Moshiach. Shehu bechinas chaitam. Moshiach is represented by the nose. Bechinas ruach apenu, Moshiach Hashem. Moshiach is called ruach apenu, the breath of our nostrils. That's the symbolism of Moshiach. We once mentioned that there are five senses: sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. four of the five participated in the Eitz Hadas. If you look at the parsha of the Eitz Hadas, it says they saw the fruit, that it was good to look at and good to taste, and they took from the fruit with their hands and they ate it. Fourth sense is participated. The only one that's not mentioned is smell. And that's why in a certain sense, smell represents perfection, the highest height of Kedusha. Smell is the sense that's attributed to Moshiach, because the Nachash was the one who got Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. The Nachash was the one who got her to be poigim in these four senses. Therefore, the tikkun for the Nachash, which is going to be Moshiach is Bigimatria Nachash, has to come from one whose power is from the what was untouched, what was not damaged by this Eitz Hadas. Moshiach's major strength is in the power of smell. As Rabbeinu Zal explains, he's called Ruach Apeinu Moshiach Hashem, the breath of our nostrils. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki Moshiach hu moirach vadoin. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Moshiach's ability to tell the truth, to tell who's lying and who's telling the truth, he's going to be able to smell the truth. Shlomo HaMelech was able to look at a person and know who was telling the truth. The Gemara says Moshiach's ability is going to be to smell the truth. And smell is associated with tefillah. We quoted the pasuk Utehilosi Echtam, that tefillah is the nose. So Rabbeinu Zal said that the tefillos are sent to Moshiach, which means that the tefillos are sent to the tzaddikim. Bebechinas vohorechoi beyiras Hashem. The pasuk says in the Novi about Moshiach that he will smell from fear of Hashem. Again, emphasizing that his strength is smell and yiras Hashem. What is yiras Hashem? Hainu betfilos. That the strength of Moshiach is going to be tefillos. Shehein bechinas yiras Hashem hi tishalol. Fear of Hashem is praiseworthy. The word tishalol means praiseworthy. The word tishalol is also tefillah. Tefillah is called tehillah. So fear of Hashem is tefillah. The best show of a Jew's fear of Hashem is based on how much they daven and how well they daven. That's the expression of a Jew's fear of Hashem. Kihu moirach umargish bahatfilois shemekabel mehem eskolechot viechot kfimashu. Because Moshiach, or these tzaddikim, smell and feel. In the tefillos that they receive from Bnei Yisrael, they feel each and every Jew according to where that Jew is at. Kikol ha'irvuvim shel kol echod heim b'soich ha'tfila kanal. Because all the nonsense of a person is in their tefillah. Remember we said that the main center of confusion, the main time when all the mishigasin of a person's brain are gathered together, tied up with a ribbon and knot and packaged perfectly, is in their tefillah. If the tefillah is sent to the tzaddik, then the tzaddik gets the tefillah with all the junk. He gets both. Nimtzo shehatzadikim heim soivlim tzar al yedei hatfilois shelonu. So therefore, Rabbeinu Zal says, the tfilois suffer pain from our tfilois when they receive our tfilois. Shemevalvel amoysim kanal, it disturbs the tzadikim. Ubishvil zeh, so if the tzadik is experiencing pain because of me, then now if he says something to me insulting, I can't blame him, I can't feel angry towards him, because ein odom nitpas al tzaroi. Rabbeinu Zal says, ubishvil ze tzorech lekabel toichachtom af shemavazam oisonu kanal. And it's for this reason that we have to be willing to accept their toichocho, even when it comes in the form of insult, because to an extent they have the right. The fact that they're suffering from us, when a person's in pain, sometimes they cry out in a nasty way that they wouldn't have cried out if they weren't in pain. So that, in a sense, the nastiness by the tzaddik isn't the tzaddik's, it's mine. It's my nastiness coming back at me. It's my ra, which got sent to the tzaddik, and his reaction is coming back in this form of bizui, in a sense.
Two questions. Rabbeinu Zal gives us a way on how to get rid of the thoughts once they come to us. Through constant doing this, will this eventually cause the thoughts to stop coming with Paul, or what can you do to make sure the thoughts don't come?
To a degree, that's true. Rabbeinu Zal, this topic is discussed in a few chapters on Likutei Moran, and in Sichos Yisroel and Rabbi Nachman's Wisdom. This topic Rabbeinu Zal addresses. That's one of the special things about Breslov, in a sense, about Rabbeinu Zal's teachings, that it addresses all the major problems in religion. This is something that everybody experiences, And it's a matter of admitting it, number one. Most people make believe, either to themselves or certainly to others. They put on a pretense as if they're davening with kavona. You would never know. You would think this person's davening like a king of kings, like his tefillah was perfect. You see him walking out of shul, jolly, like he just scored 1,000,000,000%. Not necessarily being honest to a degree, knowing how much toholo, how much confusion was, and that in a sense there has to be a certain feeling of embarrassment and ashamed that I know I'm not flying so high. I know that there's a lot of holes in my mitzvahs, even in my mitzvahs, in this sense. But Rabbein Hillel says, to a degree, if a person fights enough times, certain times, the sultan knocks on a person's door a certain number of times. And if the person is able to keep the door closed the right number, the sultan is sent away and can't come back to a degree, until the person reaches the next level where it's no longer that same sultan from before coming back, it's a new level sultan, it's a new type. When we talk about tzaddikim having these bilbulim in tefillah, their bilbulim aren't chas v'sholem anything that resembles our bilbulim. Their bilbulim are on an infinitely higher level, and by them it's the thoughts coming only to get a tikkun, you know, etc., etc.
You mentioned about the shirko, smell the truth.
Yes.
Does that have a deeper meaning? Or is that
for sure, meaning? For sure. I just gave you an example of how it's talking on a higher level based on the Eitz Hadas, the fact that that's sense, but it's definitely, in other words, there are... The Sforim speak a great deal about what, you know, what that refers to. That it refers to this power of fear, of the smell of fear of Hashem, and smell represents tefillah. It means his power of tefillah, which is connected to the nose. The Zohar Kodesh says that the nose has in it the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, that just like the letter Aleph, when you write an Aleph, it's a Yud on top, a Yud on bottom in a sense, and a line in the middle. The Zohar Kodesh says that's the symbolism of the two nostrils and the pipe that extends between them in a sense, so that the nose represents tremendous kedusha. There's quotations from the Gemara where the Gemara says a rabbi came in and the other rabbi said to him that I can smell on you a ruach tahara, I can smell on you your purity in tikkun abris. And the Zohar HaKodesh tells the story of a yanuka, a small child, who the students of Rabbi Shimon Yehoyazal came in and he looked at them and he wouldn't talk to them. So his mother said, why aren't you talking to them? He said, I see they didn't say Kriya Shema today, so I'm not going to talk to them. So she said, how can you see? He said, I smell it on their clothes. He had this purity of smell, in a sense, to be able to tell what the story was by them. They explained that the reason why they hadn't davened Kriya Shema was because they had a mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim. But we see there are several times that this is mentioned throughout the Torah, that the sense of smell represents something on a very high level.
Another thing I wanted to ask is, he said that our tefillah, with all this nonsense, what the causes inside pain, then one might think it would just be easier to just go to the tzaddik and say, you know, save him pain, to ask him to daven for you, and in a sense that would cause some of the pain coming from us.
That would cause him the pain?
No, that would resolve causing him any pain coming from our direct actions.
If we go to him and
ask him to be mischal for us.
That's one of the main avoidus of a Jew. But he can't only be mischal for a person has to daven for themselves also. There's no such option. There's no option of a person asking a tzaddik to daven for them and the person themselves not davening. The person has to daven also. But part of the hachnor, when a person comes to a tzaddik, in terms of the attitude that they come with, part of the attitude has to be this feeling of humbleness in knowing that the tzaddik isn't supposed to jump off his chair and make a big party to celebrate the fact that I came to him. That he should be so thrilled and appreciative that I'm nice enough to come to him and everything. On the contrary, for a person to know that I'm coming to the tzaddik with my mud, with my dirty, smelly clothes, and with my dirty, smelly mitzvahs, my tefillahs and my toiros, to him, based the level of cleanliness that he's on, to him, even my good, utfilasi bara oisehem. And that's part of what gives a person the proper attitude in coming to tzaddikim.
Well, like one can be yotzi for kiddush on Shabbos. The same thing in a sense.
Nope. Certain, number one, in order to be yotzi, you have to be listening, and there are certain things, there are only certain cases where somebody could be yotzi you. There are certain other things where somebody cannot be yotzi you. There are certain brachas where somebody can be yotzi you, certain ones where they can't. Here also, when we talk about a person going to a tzaddik for a tikkun, It the assumption is, and this is something that's stressed a lot in Rabbeinu Zalsvorim, that tzaddik can help you to the degree that you help yourself. A person who takes the attitude that people that come to a tzaddik and then go on vacation, I don't have to do so many mitzvahs anymore because I believe in the tzaddik. He's great enough, he'll take care of me. That person won't really benefit from the tzaddik the way they're supposed to. It's only a person who's working on all fronts simultaneously. Number one, they're trying to get everything they're supposed to get from the tzaddik. And part of what determines what a person gets from the tzaddik or not is the attitude that they come with. If a person comes with the attitude that tzaddik, I love you and everything, but if you have something nice to say to me, say it. Otherwise, no thanks. Leave it for someone else, then that person is going to limit what they're going to walk out with, what they're going to receive. That's on one level. Then there's friends. A person needs, besides a kesher to tzaddikim, the Torah says, uknei lecha chover. A Jew cannot think that they're going to succeed in Judaism without friends, without good friends. The Mishnah says, "Aseh lecha rav, uknei lecha chover." Both are necessary, basic building blocks of being a religious Jew, an Orthodox Jew. Then besides friends, each and every Jew needs students. Each and every Jew has to have somebody that they're giving to, in a sense. And besides that, Rabbeinu Zal says, each and every Jew, there are certain avodos which could only be done by the person themselves. There are certain times when the tzaddik isn't available and the friend isn't available that a person must be burning rubber by themselves, davening themselves or learning themselves if there's no tzaddik available at that time or if there's no friend available. And it's only to the degree that a person is working on all fronts simultaneously that one helps the other, one strengthens the other, one feeds the other, and with all four together, a person scores 100%. If a person decides to cut out one fourth of this, one quadrant, then the maximum, if they're perfect on three fronts, they get a 75 on the test, in a sense. Why we should be zeicher to understand Rabbeinu Zal's advice here and to be mekayem it.
Amen.